Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Backheeled Show. My name is Joe Lowry, and on today's episode, we are diving into a host of different topics from around the American soccer landscape. We're going to talk about the U.S. women's national team's nail-biting win over Canada in the CONCACAF W Gold Cup semifinals. We'll dive into the weekend to come for the USL Championship as their season kicks off on Saturday, and we'll look ahead to some MLS games to watch this weekend. We'll do all that stuff in less than 10 minutes because here at the Backheeled Show, we believe that just because soccer games are 90 minutes long doesn't mean that soccer podcasts have to be. So, without any further ado, let's get to our roundup. Okay, folks, let's start off with the United States women's national team's penalty kick shootout win over Canada in the CONCACAF W Gold Cup semifinal. This game was on Wednesday evening late in a rain-soaked field at Snapdragon Stadium in San Diego, California. The conditions, to be honest, were unplayable. That's something that makes a lot of the discussion around this game and any long-term takeaways very, very difficult. Jaden Shaw puts the U.S. up 1-0 in the 20th minute after a Canadian back pass that just gets stuck in a giant puddle, and Shaw picks it up and scores, and it looked like the U.S. were going to see this game out. Now, Jordan Heidema scores a goal towards the back post in the 82nd minute to erase that potential shutout 1-0 win for the U.S., and Sophia Smith in extra time puts the U.S. up 2-1. And then Alyssa Nair commits a foul inside her own box, and Adriana Leon scores the penalty kick in the 127th minute, again on a rain-soaked field in San Diego, to send this game to penalties. The penalty kick shootout was awesome and maybe a bit cathartic for the U.S. after their trouble at the World Cup against Sweden, where they lose in the knockout rounds on a penalty kick shootout. Alyssa Nair made some moves of her own on the defensive side in the shootout, and then scores. She scores the U.S.'s second goal of the shootout, and Lindsay Horan finishes the job off. The U.S. win 3-1 on penalties. Again, not a game that we're going to be able to take a ton away from as we march closer and closer towards the Emma Hayes era, which is slated to start in June with a pair of friendlies against South Korea. But again, a cathartic experience for the U.S., likely to win on penalties and booking themselves a nice matchup with Brazil, who've been very good throughout large stretches of this tournament. They smashed Mexico 3-0, a team that the U.S. lost to, and this isn't exactly transitive, but a team the U.S. lost to close out their group stage campaign. Brazil won that match against Mexico 3-0 yesterday as well, so we'll have this final on Sunday, March 10th. That game will be in the evening. Brazil is a good team. They're probably the best team available in this competition outside of the United States. Even more so than Canada, certainly more so than Mexico, despite the U.S.'s issues there. They are the top team coming out of South America right now. This will be a very good opportunity for the U.S. to get in a meaningful, competitive game with a trophy on the line that everybody seems to care about when you look at these squads and you look at the talent present for most of these teams. Like, this is a big deal for the United States. They have a chance to go and take down the top dogs from South America, and this is going to be a fun match on Sunday night. I'll be tuning in, and we'll talk more about this tournament and the U.S. women's national team as we hit next week. Now, speaking of this weekend, the USL Championship's 2024 regular season is starting. There are 9 games on Saturday to kick off this match day 1 slate. What should you be watching? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to be watching this weekend. I've got my eyes especially closely glued to 2 games, and they both involve the teams that were playing in last year's USL Championship final. Let's start over in the Eastern Conference with the Charleston Battery traveling to North Carolina FC. Now, North Carolina FC are an expansion team, but they're also an incredibly familiar team. They've been in the championship before, they went down to League One, now they have sort of self-promoted themselves back to the USL Championship, and they've got a good squad. Our very own USL expert John Morrissey likes a lot of the pieces in this team. It's easy to like a team, frankly, that has Rodrigo Da Costa on it because he is a phenomenal player. He will be the talisman for this team as they march forward in the attack. And the Battery. And this team looks a bit different than they did last year under Ben Pearman, but they have a lot of talent in this squad. Aaron Malloy specifically coming over from Memphis. They've gone down the MLS Next Pro route to identify talent in the attack as well. There's a lot to like about this Charleston team, who are going to be very, very strong in the Eastern Conference this season, just like they were last season. Shifting over to the West, I'm a Phoenix guy. I want to hit Phoenix Rising. The reigning USL champions are taking on Birmingham Legion on Saturday evening. There's been a lot of turnover in this squad for Phoenix. They've shifted personnel in and out up top. They've changed their midfield group a little bit. They've had Danny Trejo sign over in Europe. They've had Carlos Harvey sign for Minnesota United. There are real changes in this team. There's also been a managerial shift with one of the assistants from last year and Danny Stone now taking over this group as Juan Guerra's gone to an MLS coaching staff, with the Houston Dynamo and Ben Olsen. What does this team look like? How effective are they in their possession style? And what can Birmingham Legion do to disrupt a lot of the play that Phoenix want through the midfield? Birmingham are sort of a part of the USL's youth movement. They have Matthew Cochran in this squad. 18-year-old midfielder was at the U17 World Cup for the United States last year. Is a phenomenal passer of the ball at this level. He is very, very good in deep distribution. He is one of the kids to watch throughout this entire season across the entire USL as youth development and selling players on continues to become a bigger and bigger priority for more and more clubs across the Championship and League One and the USL pyramid as a whole. We just saw Fidel Barajas go and sign for Real Salt Lake from the Charleston Battery last year. Diego Luna is another success story of that USL to MLS pathway. Cochran could be next, although I imagine there's a real chance he ends up skipping MLS altogether and heading to Europe sooner rather than later. Watch the kids this year in the USL Championship. Watch Julio Doratioto for Phoenix Rising. Watch Knight Pickering in the attack for Memphis 901 FC. Watch Nate Worth deep in the midfield for FC Tulsa. There is real young quality in this league, and that's one of the biggest things worth monitoring in the USL in 2024. Now, finally, let's shift over to MLS. Their season is well underway at this point with the NWSL getting in on this action next weekend. What should you be watching? Well, I've got my eyes on a handful of games to run through them very, very quickly. I'll be paying especially close attention to the New York Red Bulls taking on FC Dallas. These are two teams that just straight up look different than they did last year. The Red Bulls have more possession in them this year with Noah Elie in the back line, Emil Forsberg in the attacking midfield. They are way more fun to watch this year than they've been in recent years. And FC Dallas, different shape. We finally saw record striker signing Petar Musa in the attack for them. Jesus Ferreira came off the bench last week, and those two are still trying to figure each other out. I want to see more from those two in the attack, and I want to see them both start together. That match between the Red Bulls and Dallas will be on Saturday evening. Two other games, Nashville SC hosting the LA Galaxy. I just want to see more of the Galaxy, who have been one of the most fun teams to watch in MLS this year. Our very own Armand Cafai highlighted the Galaxy, and specifically Joseph Pencil, earlier this week in his stats breakdown over on backheel.com. He's been so good on the right side for the Galaxy so far this season. I want to see them have to break through Nashville. I want to see how the Galaxy deal with coming up against a compact block, and Nashville will be compact. They have CCC play tonight, as I'm recording on Thursday, against Inter Miami. This is a team that's going to have to sit in and defend against the Galaxy. They're going to be a little tired. They're not going to be able to devote every resource to the attack in this match, which then makes the Galaxy's life, frankly, a little bit more difficult in how they go out and break down the opposition. That match is high up on my must-watch list, specifically for the Galaxy. And then finally, FC Cincinnati taking on DC United. That game is on Sunday. This is a really new-look Cincinnati team. Yes, a lot of stuff is the same. The tactical principles are mostly the same. Lucho Acosta is still pulling all the strings from the number 10 spot. But there are five new starters in Noonan's presumed first-choice 11, and DeAndre Yedlin is the newest one of that bunch. I want to see how Yedlin looks on the right side of their attacking shape, bombing up and down from right wing back. And I want to see how the rest of the pieces continue to gel as Cincinnati try to defend their Supporters' Shield title from last season. And then DC have been a bundle of fun so far this year. They've pressed aggressively. They've been really entertaining to watch as they push into the attack. The early signs for Troy Lesane are good, and I want to see more of this team. All right, folks, if you want more American soccer coverage, go check out backheel.com. We've got a story dropping today about the U.S. Open Cup and MLS's decision to ditch the U.S. Open Cup, at least in large part, and what we're doing over at Backheel in response to that decision. Plenty more coverage of all this stuff to come on the feed next week and over on the site. For now, though, I will leave you. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk again soon.